Can you believe this? It's the 5th of June already. My, how time is flying by. It seems like as I get older, the years are just zipping by. Well, regardless, time will go on. On behalf of Challenge Ministries International, this is Pastor Gene Howard, bringing the message to you tonight. We believe that the cross stands at the very center of all that God has ever done, is doing today, or will ever do. Challenge presents the message of the cross, the message of the crucified, resurrected, coming again, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I am asking, O Holy Spirit, to take over my lips, my thoughts, my heart, everything tonight. Father God, that your perfect will would be done through this message. And Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what your word is saying to us in this day and time that we are living. Father God, have mercy upon our nation. Have mercy upon the nation of Israel. Father, I pray for the nation of Israel. I ask God for your divine protection, your divine leadership in all areas of their being. Lord, I'm asking to lead, guide, and direct, Father God, their military leaders and their prime minister, Father God. God, give them, Lord, the victories. I'm asking, Father God, to snuff out Israel's enemies. Lord God, open doors that they're to go through, close those that they're not to go through. Father, I pray for this nation. I ask God your forgiveness for the church where she has failed to be salt and light. I ask Father God forgiveness for the individuals within the church where they have failed to meet your standards, or maybe grown cold in their hearts. Father, I'm asking God to draw them near to you. Lord, your word says, draw nigh to you, and you would draw nigh to them. Help us all, Lord God, put those practices into our lives to draw nigh to you. Father God, through your word, through prayer, through meditation upon you, Father God. Lord, forgive us where we have sinned and did evil in your sight. And Holy Spirit, I am asking God, Holy Spirit, to be in the forefront of all of your people who are called by your name, who have been washed by the blood of your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we ask for strength and courage and the wherewithal to overcome strongholds in our lives, to overcome those things that we may know that are going on in our lives that you aren't pleased with, Father. Help us, Father, to be obedient to your word. Father, in this nation, I'm asking for the leader to be put into office that you can use, Father God, that you want. Lord, we pray that your will through this man would be done. Father, not our will, but your will concerning the nation of the United States. Father, you know all. Lord, we don't know nothing. So, Father, let us be about your business as you conduct your business, Father God. And, Lord, help us to be what you've called us to be, not only as a man, as a woman, but, Father God, as a mother, as a father. Father, as a child of God. Bless our children, Lord God, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age. And Father God, that would turn this nation back to a nation that is one nation under God. So Father, hear this prayer, I pray. Anoint me now, Holy Spirit, to bring this message in such a way that all can hear and understand. Amen. Well, folks, we've been going through the life and times of the Apostle Peter. This is lesson number 14, part 14. And it's actually about Philip. You remember Philip? He was one of those, along with Stephen, that was chosen, one of those seven men that was chosen to wait upon tables. But he also, like Stephen, was a evangelist. And we find interesting what God has led him to do. So get your Bible. We're in Acts chapter 8. And come along with me. When we get done with this portion here, then we're not going to go into chapter 9 because we've already been there a year or so ago when we did the life and times of the Apostle Paul, and that's where we picked up. But what we will do, we will skip over to where Peter comes into play again, and we will play him out through the end of Acts where we no longer see him. And then after that, we will jump into 1st and 2nd Peter as we continue these studies. So get your Bible, prayerfully come along with me, and let's get into it. Want to? Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering to every house and hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Interesting, isn't it? This one named Saul, he later becomes Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest adversaries for the Lord Jesus Christ that ever lived. And we find here now that there was great persecution come up on the church. And if you recall the words that Jesus said, he said, go ye therefore and spread this word of the good news through Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Samaria. Well, here it is. It's fixing to come. And it was through this persecution that the gospel spread out throughout. Had it not been for the persecution, I dare say that God's people would have stayed right there, comfortable with their positions and situations, and never would have ventured out. But now, from this, we see that the gospel is taken to all parts, throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world. It has gone as far as you and me today. That's how far the gospel has gone throughout all of the world. So it took this intense persecution to scatter the believers from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria, where Jesus had instructed them to go. Remember? Philip was one of these in charge of the food distribution. He left Jerusalem, and like most Jewish Christians, spread the gospel wherever he went. But unlike most of them, he did not limit his audience to other Jews. He went directly to Samaria, the last place many Jews would go due to age-old prejudices. In other words, the Jews normally wouldn't go down into Samaria. Why? Well, the Jews looked upon the Samaritans as like half-breeds. The ancient capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, which eventually fell to the Assyrians, that was in 722 B.C., after over 200 years of idolatry and rebellion against God, and after resettling many of the people in other lands, the Assyrians located Gentiles from other areas into the region, so resulting in a mix of Jews and Gentiles who became known as Samaritans. And to the original Jews, they were considered as half-breeds and had nothing to do with them. And now we see Philip here is the first missionary named in Scripture, the first to be given the title of an evangelist. And keep in mind, as we're going through this Scripture here, that this Philip that we're talking about, this is not the apostle Philip. But this was one of the Greek-speaking Jews, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who was one of the seven that did the food distribution. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And they had regard for him, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. So Israel had been divided into three main regions. Galilee was in the north, Samaria was in the middle, and Judea was in the south. The city of Samaria, in the region of Samaria, had been the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel in the days of the divided kingdom, before it was conquered by the Assyrians. During that war, The Assyrian king took many captives, leaving only the poorest people in the land and resettling it with foreigners. These foreigners intermarried with the Jews who were left, and the mixed races became known as Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered half-breeds, and the pure Jews in the southern king of Judah, and there was intense hatred between the two groups. But Jesus himself went into Samaria, remember back in John chapter 4, and he commanded his followers to spread the gospel there. So we see, now you know the background history behind why they didn't like the Samaritans. They considered them lower class. They had intermarried between with the Gentiles, and the southern Jews just despised them. They would even go around Samaria rather than go through Samaria. You remember the priest that saw the man laying in the ditch hurt, and he walked around him, but it was the Samaritan, one of the Samaritans, that actually helped the man out. So these Jews despised the Samaritans. Now, while Jesus was on this earth, he encountered and drove out many demons during his ministry on earth. Demons, or evil spirits, are ruled by Satan. Most scholars believe that they are fallen angels who joined Satan in his rebellion against God, and who can cause a person to be mute, deaf, blind, or insane. Demons also tempt people to sin. Although they can be powerful, they are not able to read our minds and cannot be everywhere at once. Demons are real and active, but Jesus has authority over them, and he gave this authority to his followers. He gave that authority to you, my friend, over the demons and unclean spirits. Although Satan is allowed to work in our world, God is in complete control. He can drive out demons and end their destructive work in people's lives. Eventually, Satan and all of his demons will be thrown into the lake of fire forever, ending their evil work in the world. Revelation 20, verse 10. So in the days of the early church, sorcerers, magicians, were numerous and influential. They worked wonders, performed healings and exorcisms. They practiced astrology. Their wonders may simply have been magic tricks, or the sorcerers may have been empowered by Satan. Yes, this can happen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. Let's look at those. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This Simon we just read about, he had done so many wonders that some even thought that he was the Messiah. But his powers did not come from God. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast sought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bonds of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye spoke will come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So we find that Peter and John, they were sent to Samaria to find out whether or not the Samaritans were truly becoming believers. The Jewish Christians, even the apostles, were still unsure whether Gentiles, non-Jews, or half-Jews could receive the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until Peter's experience with Cornelius, which we'll find in chapter 10 of Acts, that the apostles became fully convinced that the Holy Spirit was for all people. And it was John who had asked Jesus if they should call fire down upon heaven to burn up a Samaritan village. Remember that? This Samaritan village that refused to welcome them. So here he, Peter, and John went to the Samaritans to pray with them. This was a crucial moment for the spreading of the gospel and for the growth of the church. Peter and John had to go to Samaria to help keep this new group of believers from becoming separated from all the other believers. When Peter and John saw the Lord working in these people, they were assured that the Holy Spirit worked through all believers. Aren't we glad? Gentiles and mixed races, as well as pure Jews, the Holy Spirit was for all. Many scholars believe that God chose to have a dramatic filling of His Spirit as a sign of this special moment in history. The spread of the gospel into Samaria through the powerful, effective preaching of believers. Normally, the Holy Spirit enters a person's life at conversion. This was a special event, the pouring out of the Spirit would happen again with Cornelius and his family, a sign that the uncircumcised Gentiles could receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything has a price, doesn't it? Everything has a price. Here we find Simon is trying to buy the Holy Spirit. In today's world, it seems very true that everything has a price. Bribes, wealth, materialism, Simon thought he could buy the Holy Spirit's power, but Peter rebuked him. And the only way to receive God's power is to do what Peter told Simon to do. Turn from sin. Ask God for forgiveness. And be filled with His Spirit. No amount of money can buy you salvation, friend. Or the forgiveness of sin. Or God's power. These are only gained by repentance and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have you ever been rebuked? Has a parent or a friend ever rebuked you? And did it hurt you? Did you get angry? Did you go on a defensive? Learn a lesson here from Simon and his reaction to what Peter told him. He exclaimed, "Pray to the Lord for me." If you are rebuked for a serious mistake, it is for your good. Admit your error, repent quickly, and ask for prayer. Verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near, join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up, sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And that was from Isaiah 53:7-8, where that was taken from. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? The prophet of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth it hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So we find that Philip, he was having a successful preaching ministry to great crowds in Samaria, but he obediently left that ministry to travel on a desert road, because Philip went where God sent him. Ethiopia was open to the gospel, following God's leading, even if it seemed like a demotion to Philip. At first, sometimes you may not understand God's plans, but the results will prove that God's way is right. If God speaks to you and tells you to do something, follow His advice. He knows. Even if it goes against all your human common senses, God knows. God sees. Ethiopia was located in Africa of South Egypt. The eunuch was obviously very dedicated to God because he traveled such a long distance to go to worship in Jerusalem. The Jews had contact with Ethiopia, at that time known as Cush, in the ancient days. We find that in Psalm 68:31, also in Jeremiah 38:7. This man may have been a Gentile converted to Judaism because he was in charge of the treasury of Ethiopia. This man's conversion brought Christianity into the power structures of another government. This is the beginning of the witness to the ends of the earth. For words about foreigners and eunuchs, Isaiah 56:3-5. Let's take a look at that. Isaiah 56:3-5. Isaiah 56:3. Neither let the sons of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and chose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in my house, and within my walls a place, and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord and to his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. So you see, the Lord loves the eunuchs also and the foreigners. Philip found this Ethiopian man reading scripture. Taking advantage of this opportunity to explain the gospel, Philip asked the man if he understood what he was reading. So Philip, following the Spirit's leading, began the discussion from where the man was immersed in the word in this prophecy of Isaiah. And Philip explained how Jesus Christ fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. So when we share the gospel, we should start where the other person's concerns are focused. When we can, bring the gospel to bear on those concerns. The eunuch asked Philip to explain the passage of the scripture that he did not understand. When we have trouble understanding the Bible, we should ask others to help us. We must never let our insecurity or pride get in the way of understanding God's word. Some think that the Old Testament is not relevant for today, but keep this in mind. Philip led this man to faith in Jesus Christ by using only the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is found in the pages of both the Old and New Testaments. God's entire word is applicable to all people in all ages. Don't avoid or neglect use of the Old Testament. It is God's word. Baptism was a sign of identification with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Christian community. Although there was no witness beside Philip, it was still important for the eunuch to take this step. Why do you think Philip was suddenly transported to a different city? This miraculous sign showed the urgency of bringing the Gentiles to belief in Christ. This Azotus is Ashdod, one of the ancient Philistine capitals. Philip probably lived in Caesarea for the next 20 years. I want to go back and hit a couple points. Back there in verse 17, why do you think the laying on of the hands of these apostles? What's that all about? This signified the apostolic affirmation and solidarity. That this actually occurred, this receiving of the Holy Spirit, likely demonstrated that the believers also spoke in tongues here, just as those that received the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Remember that? As the Gentiles did when they received the Spirit, and as those followers of John did. As Samaritans, Gentiles and the believers from the Old Covenant were added to the church. The unity of the church was established. No longer could one nation, which was Israel, be God's witness people. But the church was made up of Jews, Gentiles, half-breeds, Samaritans, and Old Testament saints, who became New Testament believers. So to demonstrate the unity, it was imperative that there be some kind of a replication in each instance of what had happened or occurred at Pentecost, such as the presence of the apostles and the coming of the Spirit manifested, indicated through the speaking in the languages of the Pentecost. And this Ethiopian eunuch, in those days, Ethiopia was a large kingdom located south of Egypt. So this eunuch, it could refer to one who has been emasculated and a government official, since Luke refers to him as a eunuch, as one who held a position of authority in the queen's court, especially that of a treasury, much like a minister of finance or secretary of treasury in her own countries. As a physical eunuch, he would have been denied access to the temple and the opportunity to become a full proselyte to Judaism. So, Candace was probably not a name, but an official title like Pharaoh or Caesar given to the queen mothers in that land. So we can find this eunuch, because he was a eunuch, could not go into the temple. Where do you find that at, Pastor Dean? Well, if you take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, it says this: No one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Verse 2, no one of illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord, none of his descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. Then verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no longer, but went on his way rejoicing. So Elijah and Ezekiel, remember them? They were also snatched away in a miraculous fashion. This was a powerful confirmation to the caravan that Philip was God's representative. When I said the caravan, do you think that Ethiopian man traveling all the way from Egypt to Jerusalem was by himself being the treasurer of Candace? Don't think so. So likely all of those who were traveling with this Ethiopian, the caravan, saw the power of God. Well, folks, we're going to close with this. I hope you have picked up some nuggets that you can use along the way. And until we meet again, this is Pastor Gene saying good night. God bless you. And if you want to draw closer to God, he says, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. So by you hearing the word of God, hearing these studies, as we're coming through step by step, you can pick up a lot of nuggets, folks. When I say nuggets, what I'm talking about is keys that open up the scripture, keys that open up your understanding to the word of God. I call these nuggets, things that you can use from the word of God to enhance your own life for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. So, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, if anything was said amiss in this message, in this Bible study, I'm asking to scratch it. And Father God, I'm asking to open up the hearts, the minds of all of those who hear this Bible study. Lord, that they would gain a greater understanding, a greater knowledge and greater wisdom of your word. Bless them in their spirit, their souls, their minds, and their body. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen.